Oh, yes. The presenter of Not Down Market, down to business on a Saturday, and Bobby's late breakfast on a Sunday. He has a Tuesday gig here on News Talk.
Sorry, I'm called, a bit late. I was out having a fag.
Yeah, is an agony uncle at newstalk.com for your queries, or text us at 53106. So what he means there, we were talking earlier about people taking smoke breaks and how irresponsible. Where do you stand on that, Bobby? I'm saying they're slackers.
Well, I don't smoke.
And they should be reported.
I think you're pushing water up a hill, Ivan. People will take smoke breaks who smoke.
You used to smoke.
No, I haven't smoked in years. Oh. I haven't smoked in years. And when I was a smoker, I would have taken smoke breaks. As you were a smoker too.
I was, but I never took a break.
Smoking fags in the back of the Dáil limo in the government minister's car, blowing smoke out the window. I remember it.
Okay. Now, let's talk about, before we come to the listeners' queries, the issue of a change in the labour market. Now, it's more an employees' market than an employers' market. Explain.
Yeah, there was a survey out, Hayes Recruitment did a survey. Some of this stuff is surprising me a little bit. They're saying that 51% of employees actually want to move jobs, which is like over half the people. 58% are unhappy with their salary. Now, it depends on how you ask that question. If I said to you, Ivan, I don't think you're paid enough, do you think you should be paid more? What are you going to say?
Obviously.
There you go. So one thing I did, there was two pieces of information in it. 42% of respondents said they didn't have a good work-life balance. Now, I think a work-life balance is, that's, you know, you've got your own responsibilities around that and the employer has responsibilities, i.e., but only 12% of recruiters think work-life balance is important. So the people who are actually putting you out there forward for the jobs, they couldn't give a toss about whether your work-life balance is good or not, or as long as you get the job. So, you know, I take this with a bit of a pinch of salt. I think, you know, 51% of employees plan to move jobs. How many of them will actually move? The ones that move, there'll be vacancies created. So there's a churn. But I do think...
You're saying that it's a try-on. It's a bluff.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that. I'm saying it's a reality in the marketplace that people will move on as the market improves.
Or let them go.
Well, you want to keep the good ones.
All right. Now, we have a full post bag of queries. We'll start with a text. Revenue is doing an audit on me. They say I claimed too much for diesel last year and I lost all the receipts. What do I do? I'm a sole trader, Blocklayer.
Yeah, I think what he needs to do here, he needs to, not to use a pun, but he needs to level with them. He needs to go and see revenue. Basically, he needs to provide evidence of what he's doing this year in relation to his diesel consumption. Go along, present it to them.
And but I he think, doesn't have receipts.
No, but he will have for this year. If you go along and you can establish, look, I've lost all the receipts for last year. This is what I'm doing for this year.
All right.
They will find some kind of middle ground with him.
Or a previous year.
Yeah. So I think really he just has to engage with them and try and come up with some evidence that helps his case.
All right. Hi, Bobby. My query is shift related. Is it legal to do a week of nights, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. with one single day off for the 2 weeks before it? I do receive a shift allowance, says Anna.
Yeah, this is quite complex. I looked up a site, ILO.org, all about shift work, all about rest periods. Just a couple of snippets on it, not to get too legalistic. After a five-day working week, you may not work for 36 consecutive hours. A longer working week is possible, provided you have a rest period at least 72 hours once every 14 days. And the 72 hours can be split into two separate periods. So she just needs to mirror her own situation around the legislation in that Working Time, Working Hours Act.
All right. Now, you with your Del Boy past, knocked off goods and so on,
you'd be
interested in this one. Bobby, we're currently expanding our offices here in Cork. I'd rather not give the name of the firm. And I want to know, is there any good way to pick up decent computers and office equipment second hand? It'll only be a temporary arrangement until a new loan comes through. So you don't need, it doesn't need to last forever.
Yeah, I think you need to be careful buying secondhand computer equipment.
You think it could be stolen goods?
Well, no, I think there's a load of companies out there. There's one called refreshedbyus.com. There's another one called laptopmarket.ie. laptopsdirect.ie. They offer even finance packages. So I was looking there on the on a website. You can get a refurbished MacBook, a 12-inch one, for about €1,000. It's actually not that much cheaper than a new one, believe it or not. So I don't know what they do to them. But I just think with technical equipment like that, you need to be very, very careful.
And get a bit of a warranty.
Well, yeah, but you will get warranty, but you'll find that when you're getting warranty, you're going to be paying close to what the new price is anyway, to be honest with you.
Okay, Joe in Dublin 11. Should every workplace have a social media set of regulations? I run a fast food restaurant in Dublin, and I want to say something about a member of staff and their online behaviour and language. I think it reflects badly on us, says a worried Joe.
Yeah, I was reading an article by Trina Cody, Social Media in the Workplace. Basically, it's quite alarming, really, what she says. But she's first thing she says is you need to be very careful access as an employer accessing a candidate's social media profile, as information obtained and held by employers from social media profile screening is subject to data protection rules. I didn't know that. As an employer, you should have a clear policy on social media. So you should tell your employees what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. You need to, and again, in this fast food restaurant and the query that we have, it appears that this person's behaviour outside of work is causing reputational damage to the business. By all means, this gent with his fast food business should tackle this employee on that. Absolutely.
Right. No, I agree. Because
yeah, absolutely.
And you see, some people might think they have anonymity, but yeah, it could be well known and it could reflect badly on the business.
But what I didn't know was that I thought that social media, somebody's social media account was fair game because it was public. What this lady, Trina Cody, is saying is you need to be careful as an employer to be honing in on people's personal profiles.
All right, here's a longer email from Chris. Of a small shop in Letterkenny. It does okay and pays the bills. Last November, I put my business online, so that's as well as the retail outlet in Letterkenny. This has gone okay, but I need to direct more traffic to my website. I spend money on Google AdWords or Facebook advertising, but I don't feel I'm getting value for money. My aim is to bring the online shop up to the levels of my retail shop, and I would more than likely close the physical store. I run the shop with my wife. We have no staff. If we could close the shop, we could cut overheads like rent, ESB, rates and phone, and we could spend some quality time with our three young kids. How do I drive more traffic to my site and, more importantly, to get people to spend more? I'm sure this is a classic.
It is, actually, and it's interesting to hear Chris here. He's a traditional retailer by the looks of it in Letterkenny. He's been online since last November. He said he put some of his business online. It's gone okay, only okay. Now he's spending a lot of money by his account on Google AdWords, Facebook advertising. But he doesn't feel does he know where he's spending the money and how is he measuring his success or otherwise? In other words, I spent X amount on getting my profile up on Google AdWords. Where are my online sales? What is he selling online? Is it different to what he has in the shop?
I'd say it's the same.
Yeah, I get the sense it probably is too. But like an online business, Ivan, is very different to a bricks and mortar business. And the selling, the marketing is very much different. And, you know, he's making a kind of a transition. He has a foot in both camps here. And I think he needs to be careful around, because it's very, very difficult to stand out online. If he's selling the same things that he's selling on his retail shop in Letterkenny online, he's going into a really crowded space, and it'll be very difficult for him to stand out in that mass of others selling online.
Okay, so it's no panacea. All right, now, if you have a query, Agony Uncle, all one word, at newstalk.com, or text us at 53106, and we'll pass it straight on to Bobby, and hopefully he'll be able to respond. We have one final query before I come to a text. Jerry and Claire. Hi, Bobby. I'm trying to tidy up things in my small SME, which is successfully employing 20 people. I was a bit sloppy in the early years in relation to HR administration. With the result, I had 8 employees had no contract. parts. I issued contracts to all 8 last month, but 2 of them have not signed up despite me asking them by on 2 occasions to do so by email. What should I do?
Well, the first thing and the big mistake being made here by Jerry is doing it by email. I'm amazed that 6 of the 8 actually signed it. Like, you need to bring people in and talk to them about this. He's offside on the basis that really the Terms of Employment Act 1994 to 2014 says you have to provide employees with written terms within 2 months. He hasn't done that. He's prepared to do it now. He needs to meet those employees. He needs to sit down and go through what the contract says. He needs to give them an opportunity to respond if they don't like what they see. He needs to revert in writing. And then once he's had all that consultation, and he's perfectly then within his entitlement to say, here's your contract, we've discussed it, we've gone through it, and if you don't like it, but it's only after a whole paper trail process has happened.
Okay, we're out of time. As you know, some of the listeners are very sharp in relation to the computer equipment. Rent the feckin' equipment or lease it. It's only going to be short term. You see, the answers are there right in front of you. 10 o'clock every Saturday morning, down to business here on News Talk.
And Bobby. 9 o'clock every Sunday morning. Yeah. And I'm going glamping this weekend down in Portumna of all places.
On air?
Stand by. Stand by, yeah, on air.
Right. Right, that's on Bobby's late breakfast. Okay. Sinbad the sailor himself, if he's not sailing, he's glamping. All right, thank you. We'll have
or skiing in Vancouver, as our emailer came in. Hi, Ivan. Just wanted to give a shout out to yourself and Bobby from all the Kerry lads here in Vancouver who met Bobby in Whistler at the weekend. I love the show and listen live from Vancouver every morning in work. There you go. That's from Dan in Kerry. To you and me.
Global ambassador for News Talk. Thank you so much, Bobby.